13 will be our passage this morning. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we can, by the nature of the minds that you have given us, we can understand everything Paul is saying here. But we cannot, by nature, feel what he felt. We can't experience the secret to life that you gave to Paul. So we pray that you would send your Spirit and do in us what you did in your apostle. And just as you sustained him in all of his life unto his death, Father, we pray that you would do that in us, your people, in the 21st century. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm not omniscient, neither are you, but I know something absolutely certain about every single person in this room. And that is what Jonathan Edwards once said when he wrote these words. What is it that the soul of every man naturally and necessarily craves? The soul of man necessarily craves happiness. 1,100 years before him, Augustine wrote these words: "The most clearly understood and reliable constant in the world is not only that we want to be happy, but that we want only to be so. Our very nature requires it of us." And then he says this: "Happiness is not mine till I can rightly say, it is enough. This is it." So I know the most fundamental thing about every person in this room. You want to be happy. But we need to be careful, because there's one other thing that Augustine said. Quote, "Indeed, man wishes to be happy even when he so lives as to make happiness impossible." Just because you want it doesn't mean you'll be it. So the question is, what's the secret? How can we be happy and content in all of life? Paul has something to teach us here. The antidote to our joylessness and discontentment in life is right here in this text. And so, if we're not going to waste our lives and
not waste all the circumstances individually that make them up, then we need to understand what he's trying to tell us here. So, Philippians chapter 4, and let's start with verse 12. Paul says this, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, and facing abundance and need." So first, notice that when he says that, he means I can face it and win. I know how to face these circumstances and conquer these circumstances. And the reason I say that is because if that's not what Paul means, then the statement is meaningless. Because the only thing he would have to do to face hunger is exist. There wouldn't be anything to learn. Anyone can experience poverty or being brought low, but it's unique to face lowness and beat lowness. It's unique to face abundance and not lose to abundance. So what Paul means is, I know how to have little and win. I know how to abound and win. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and not being killed by plenty. Of facing hunger and not losing to hunger. Of coming face to face with abundance and need and winning. That's what Paul's saying. And in our lives, we're going to face circumstances. We're going to face threats. We're going to be walking through life, and then out of nowhere, we're going to come face to face with circumstances of pleasure or pain, and they are going to try to kill us. Life is war. And from today until the moment we're dead, we have to fight, just like Paul, to win. Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean to win? Or to ask it negatively, what would it mean to face little and abundance, plenty and need, and then lose to those circumstances? What's being threatened by those things? Look at verses 11 and 12. "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." And then second half of verse 12, "In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." So first, Paul says that he's learned the secret of contentment. He's learned to be content. And then right after that, he says, I've learned how to face and win. So in other words, he's not saying two different things. Contentment in every situation is being defined as facing circumstances and winning. So learning to be content and learning to face and win are interpreting each other. So Paul's not saying something different in verse 11 than he's saying in verse 12. He's just explaining more clearly in verse 12 what he said in verse 11. So when he says, I know how to face hunger and win, he means I know how to face hunger and be content. I know how to be content in the face of hunger. When you come face to face with poverty, the fight is to remain content in poverty. When you experience abundance and riches, the fight is to remain content in something other than your riches. To come face to face with the circumstance, and to fight that circumstance, and to kill that circumstance, is to be content in the midst of it. But before we get to verse 13, where we're going to focus mostly, before we get to Paul's answer to how he does that, notice one other word: whatever. Verse 11. I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. And then drop down to verse 12. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret. Paul's saying, I've learned the secret of facing everything. I've learned the secret of facing everything. Every millisecond of our lives on this planet is a fight to be happy. And everything we face in life, whether good or bad, is a threat to that contentment. Verse 12, in any and every circumstance. So insert your circumstance there. Any and every. No limitations, nothing excluded. Pleasure is trying to kill you. Pain is trying to kill you. Everything in life, without exception, is trying to steal your joy. So that's the fight. The fight of the Christian is a fight for joy. It's a fight of facing anything and being content. And what Paul's saying to us is, I have the secret. I know how to do that. I've learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. We need that secret, or we will die. We will go through life, and we will waste our lives without this secret. So what is it? Verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So now in some versions, we're probably using mostly ESV here, but in some versions, like the King James and New King James, you'll see it translated as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then ESV and others say, through him who strengthens me. Technically, the ESV's right, because a literal translation would be like, I can do all things through the one strengthening me. But I still think that the other translations are right when they interpret the him as Christ, or in the very least, it would be God. Not much difference between those two. But I'm going to hold off on telling you why I think that, and we'll get to it later. But for now, just assume that in verse 13, the him is referring to Christ. All right. Before we go into what verse 13 means, we need to clarify one huge misunderstanding about this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is typically interpreted as something like, I can hit a home run through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can succeed in business through Christ who strengthens me, or anything else in life. But is that what Paul's promising? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is Christ strengthening Paul to do? So he's strengthening Paul. He's enabling him, but to do what?
Look at the context. Start in verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and then implied is, and be content. I know how to abound, and be content. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, and being content. And of facing abundance and need, and being content. And then the answer, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, what's Paul being strengthened to do? He's being strengthened to be content. Verse 11. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And then verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, the I can do means I can be content. And the all things means in whatever situation. Christ is strengthening Paul to be content in the midst of all circumstances. So he's not saying that he can jump off a cliff with nothing but his arms and fly through Christ who strengthens him. The doing in verse 13 is a being content. I can do all things. I can be content in the midst of all things through Christ who strengthens me to be content. Okay. Now we get to the real issue of this passage. If you forget everything else I've just said, remember what I'm about to say, which is what Paul means by that little phrase, through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? Now, here's the question. When Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, what does he mean by Christ doing the strengthening? How is Christ strengthening Paul? I can only think of two possibilities for what that could mean. So first, I'm going to give you the first possibility, and then I'm going to tell you why I don't think that's right. So here it is. Option one. In verse 13, does he mean that Christ supernaturally implants into Paul's heart contentment in some object, which Paul just happens not to mention? In other words, is he giving strength for contentment like a chef gives contentment to a starving man by giving him food? In that example, the chef is not the object that the man is being satisfied with. Food is. But the chef is strengthening or producing contentment in the man. He's just doing it in a roundabout manner. So he's not cutting off his own arm and then giving it to the man. He's giving some other object. Is that how Christ is strengthening Paul to be content?
Is he like a chef who's satisfying Paul with something other than himself? And just like you could properly call the chef the one strengthening the starving man, Christ can technically be called the one strengthening Paul.
Is that what this verse is saying?
Without ever really thinking about it, I always assumed that's what this verse was saying. It's a common verse, so you don't think about usually what they mean, because you hear it all the time. But I don't think that anymore.
And here's the reason. Contentment necessarily implies an object which causes the contentment.
Contentment necessarily implies an object which causes that contentment. Now, if verse 13 merely means that Jesus gives strength for contentment in some other object, but then fails to tell us what that object is, then the verse doesn't make any sense.
Paul would be claiming to have the secret of contentment and then fail to mention what the secret is. He'd essentially be saying, I can be content in all things by means of Christ giving me the object that contents me in all things.
That doesn't make sense to me. Paul's writing to help the Philippian church be content in their circumstances. So if he were saying that Jesus simply gives him contentment, but then never mentions the object of that contentment, that'd be saying something like this. So suppose we're all in a classroom back in school, and it's final exam week. We're about to take the test, and suppose I stood up and I said, guys, I just learned the secret of acing the final exam. Answer, the teacher gave me the secret. That's not an answer. That doesn't tell you what the secret is. It just tells you who gives it. Likewise, Paul would essentially be saying, Philippians, I've learned the secret of being content. What is it, Paul? Christ gave me the secret.
That's not helpful. That is not an answer, and therefore that interpretation would defeat the purpose for why he brought up the secret of contentment in the first place. All right, if that's not what Paul's saying, what is he saying? Here's what I think he means. When Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me to be content, he means that Christ is the object that produces the contentment. He's the thing itself that satisfies. So he's not like a chef who gives bread to a starving man. He's not the chef. He's the bread. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is like saying, I can run a marathon through the carbs that strengthen me to keep going. In other words, verse 13 is not emphasizing the action Christ does
but the object that Christ is. That's what Paul's saying. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, to confirm that we're on the right track here, I want to turn to a few other places in Philippians. And I want to do that to do two things. Number one, like I said earlier, to show that Christ is the Him in verse 13 that's doing the strengthening. And then second, that Christ who strengthens me means that Christ is the object that contents. So here we go, chapter 1, and then we'll start in verse 20. Philippians 1, verse 20. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So why is death gain to Paul? Verse 23. My desire is to depart, my desire is to die and be with Christ, for that is far better. So in other words, Christ himself is the object of Paul's desire to such a degree that he tastes better to Paul than all that life can give and all that death can take away. So whether it's the circumstances of his life or the circumstance of his own death, either way, Paul's content because he is Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain because I get Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Return to chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. So there's rejoicing, there's contentment or happiness, and then there's an object that produces that, the Lord. Christ is not merely the one giving the object of joy, but Christ is himself the object of that joy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Chapter 3, verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. To Paul, everything in life is as nothing by comparison to Christ. He was able to suffer the circumstantial loss of everything and still remain joyful because he knew he would gain Christ through it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. So always, under every circumstance, good or bad, in every situation in life, be sure to do one thing. Be happy in the Lord. Let the Lord be the object of your joy in the midst of everything. I can do everything. I can be happy always through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens that joy. And then immediately before our text, chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. So when Paul says in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he means first that Christ is the him who's doing the strengthening, and second, that Christ strengthening him means Christ is the object that contents him. Christ satisfies in all circumstances because he cannot be taken away under any circumstances. And Paul's saying, church, Christian, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be content when every circumstance is falling apart? Do you want to escape the deceptive promises of the world that always end in sorrow? If you want that, then stop seeking contentment in that which does not have the capacity to content. We, by nature, don't do that. We are not content in Christ, in God through Christ, by nature. We, by nature, pursue contentment in the creation rather than the Creator. And so even as Christians, daily, we're just murmurers. We say, I can't be happy here, and I can't be happy there. If this circumstance were different, and I had this thing, then I could be content. But it's not, and so I'm not, and murmur, murmur, murmur. And Paul's saying, stop. Just stop it. O you of little faith, only one thing is necessary. Only when we are finding our contentment, our satisfaction in Him, can we be content in the midst of all things. Because only one object can bear the weight of all the happiness that our hearts desire. Christ. I can do all things only through Christ. Let's pray. So, Father, we pray that you would do that in us. We pray that you would make us like David, who said that he calmed and quieted. He contented his heart like a weaned child with its mother. And then he said, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Father, make us like babies who are content with just being with you, even when all circumstances are crumbling around us. Because if you don't do that, we will be murmuring and murmuring all the way to glory. And you will not be glorified in our lives that way. So come and do it. In Jesus' name.